The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com.
The Bill Myers Show is on 106.3 KMED and 99.3 KCMD.
13 after 7, Conspiracy Theory Thursday. It's a beautiful looking Conspiracy Theory Thursday here in Southwest Oregon, huh? You are welcome, though. 770-5633-770-KMED. My email, Bill, at BillMyersShow.com. We'll touch on some of the emails here in just a moment, too. Just wanted to put this on your calendar for tonight. Tonight is the public meeting. It's kind of, well, you know, it's that Oregon kitchen table conversation, sort of the consensus process here. And I know that Shady Cove Mayor John Ball reached out to me and said that he had something to do with, you know, the creation of this conversation here. And it has to do with the jet boats on the Rogue River, okay? Jet boats on the Rogue River, and this is going to be 6 till 8 tonight, Shady Cove Middle School Gymnasium, all right? So that's when that's going to be happening. There's also going to be another one, Jackson County, Tuesday, this coming Tuesday at Tuvel State Park, 5:30 to 7:30, and then a couple weeks after that, Monday, June 17th at the Jackson County Library in Medford. So this is going to be conversation about the Upper Rogue River. I'd like to start that conversation with you here on my show, if that's all right. And do you have an opinion about the jet boats on the Upper Rogue? And this is that section between the old Gold Ray Dam area and, of course, Lost Creek Lake. This is what they're talking about. And Rogue Jet Boat Adventures has been coming under fire. I actually had one of their individuals reach out to me last night, and I wasn't able to get a hold of him. Taylor Grimes, and maybe get him on the show to talk more about this. Probably he was just busy doing work and doing jet boat tours. I don't know, but do you have an opinion on whether the jet boats, as they are currently running, are not a problem? A little too much? Is it too noisy? Is it causing problems? What is your overall opinion of this? I'm kind of wondering what the general consensus, if there is a... Now, I'm not into this consensus process where they try to come to the conclusion with these consensus meetings in which they divide you all up and slice and dice and divide and conquer. But for people who live on the Rogue right now, what is your opinion about the jet boat? You know, the jet boat services. And I'll give you my dog in the fight, and my dog in the fight is the economic impact. My concern about this is that, first off, the Rogue River is a highway, too. It's a transportation system. It's not just a tourist visa, or a vista, that sort of thing. And from what I understand, the jet boats run with cameras on them documenting everything that is done because people throw a lot of crap at them. I'm talking about a lot of accusations, so I think that they have wisely started, doing everything about this and watching it good and hard, probably for a good defense, that sort of thing. Maybe you have property. Maybe you just don't like the noise. How often do they go by a day? What sort of limitations? I can't exactly say that I know a ton about those actual rules for it, and I don't have property on the Rogue River. I like to go look at it. And like to enjoy people having fun on it. And I also like there being good business activity, too. I look at the attack on the jet boats. This is just my dog in the fight. The attack on the jet boats, in my opinion, is really nothing more than ultimately the same sort of folks that want to blow up all the dams. And yet at the same time, they're going to say, hey, we want you here for sustainable tourism. Come on, rich liberals, come on down to Southwest Oregon and look at this sustainable tourism. Tourism. This is how we can't make anything anymore. Making things is bad. Carbon. But come to sustainable tourism and you can have your, your solar powered jet boat, I guess, or something. Your solar powered dinghy. You can do this. To me, and I could be wrong. I could be painting this entirely wrong, but it always strikes me that the people that are usually complaining about this sort of stuff, A, just think that when they have property on the river that they own the river, and they don't. They own property next to the river. Maybe I'm wrong about that, but I'm willing to entertain a conversation. But we're told tourism, and we want people to have some fun on the river, and everybody, can we live together with the way it is right now? Or should we get rid of this too? Maybe we should have a rogue river in which you're only allowed to look at it. And even then, you shouldn't look at it too hard because you might disturb Mother Nature. All right, so I've given you my thumb on the scale. But that's my knee-jerk, how I would tend to react to such things. All right? Tell me what you think. 770-563-3, 770-KMED. Another story I would love to get your take on, if you have time to squeeze it in here. A little-noticed story last week. The town of North Plains, Oregon, rejected the city's growth plan. They actually voted to not add property into their urban growth boundary, you know, state land use planning. They voted 72% to 28% against adding 855 acres here. The state of Oregon was in a panic about this. Governor Kotek was going in there trying to stop the vote. You know, they love democracy. Democrats love democracy until it goes against what Democrats are trying to do, right? And she tried to stop the vote. And then a judge stayed that, stopped Tina Kotek from stopping the vote. And so they voted and to reject the growth. And so a question I will pose to you also, and maybe this we can even combine this with the jet boat conversation, is should cities be required to be able to grow? Is there ever a time in which we can say, hey, we've grown enough and we don't want to grow up? We don't want to build high rises. We're just saying this is the housing that we have here and we shouldn't have to grow beyond where we are right now. It's comfortable where our tax base is able to be okay. Now, North Bend, they wanted to grow their tax base. The government always wants to grow itself. So they always want to see more land, you know, come in. We'll grow the tax base and provide more services. Of course, more services means probably more bum encampments, right? You know, who knows these days? But should we always be required to grow? 770-5633. I think some interesting questions we could kick around here on Conspiracy Theory Thursday. I'll go to line one first. Good morning, KMED. This is Bill. Who's this?
Dave.
Yeah, Dave.
Yeah, I stopped in late this morning, but I heard a tail end of a conversation about helicopters out here.
Yeah. Yeah, BLM, Captain Bill Simpson's going to be on next hour and talk about BLM. He claims BLM was buzzing his property with rented helicopters.
Well, I can say this. I couldn't see the helicopters, but I could hear them.
Uh-huh.
And then they sounded like big helicopters, not like a little one.
Mm-hmm.
So over the weekend, I had squadrons of military helicopters flying over. Squadrons. They were flying low and fast.
Yeah, but you see, that's for the Chinese invasion. Don't worry about that. It's okay. I hope you can. I hope you can speak Mandarin. All right.
I don't.
Well, it's a hard one to learn. We'll have to crack the books on it. Having fun with you, Miter Dave. Thanks for the call. 770-5633. Yeah. Well, we'll see what Bill has to say about the buzzing next hour. Good morning. Hi. Who's this? This is Bill.
Yeah. Hey. This is Alan the Applegate.
Hi, Al. How you doing?
Hey, I'm doing great. Hey. So regarding the noise on the Applegate from the jet boat.
I know this was on the Rogue River. I don't know. Do they do it on the Applegate too?
Oh, I'm sorry. I misspoke. You're right. The Rogue.
Okay.
Anyway, regardless, I would bet that there are very few residents on the Rogue River who predate the beginning of the jet boat travel on the river,
mm-hmm.
and therefore it's a bit like moving next to an airport and complaining about the noise, or moving next to a freeway and complaining about the noise. It's like that falls on quote deaf ears.
In other words, it was a pre-existing sort of condition. You should have known better. And even if you are 95 years old and you've been there since 1920, so what, right?
Yeah, well, I'm saying there probably aren't any people that live on the Rogue that predate the jet boat travel on the river. So I think they all moved in when the jet boats were already in.
Now, I don't know what the frequency of the jet boat travel is. And maybe it's the frequency that is a problem. And maybe they get worried about, conflict with people on their dinghies and their kayaks and things like that, right?
Yeah. Hey, you know, it is a great feeder, though, for tourism for Southern Oregon. I mean, my goodness, it's like if there is a destination for Southern Oregon, it's either Crater Lake or the jet boat. So it's precious little else that people come here for.
Well, they used to come to see the dope fields, right? But then that kind of went away quickly.
Yeah, now they've got them everywhere, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It's no big deal now, right? Hey, Al, thanks for the call. Good hearing from you. 770-5633, Conspiracy Theory Thursday. Let me go to line three. Hi, who's this?
Hi, this is Darla.
Hi, Darla. How are you?
Grants Pass.
Hi, Darla.
Hey, I just wanted to tell you, we live on the river,
mm-hmm.
and that is, watching the jet boats is part of our fun every day. We sit out there, get a glass of wine, and cheer and wave at everybody. Because, you know, it doesn't go on year-round. It's only during the summer,
uh-huh.
and then it's quiet out there, and you get to see the little fishing boats early in the morning with the fog. I mean, I can't imagine that it is that disruptive to someone's life.
To you, then, it's kind of, to you in this case, it's kind of the cycle of summer. To you, it just means summer, right? A little bit of that.
Yeah, and we get the biggest kick out of watching them. They're all having such a great time. It seems like to me, everybody can't have a good time. They don't like it if you're having a good time.
Well, if someone's having a good time, we better put a stop to that.
That's right.
Stop that right
That's
now.
Right.
We want you to be frowning all the time, and then a liberal is very happy, Darla. You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Hey, good hearing from you. Thanks for checking in from Grants Pass. Let me go to line four. Hi, KMED, KCMD. Who's this? Hello? Hi there. Good morning. You're on.
Hello, this is Ed.
Oh, hey, Ed. How you doing?
Sorry about that. My thumb accidentally brushed the mute button. Here.
Oh, I've had that happen, too. How are things with you?
Well, listening to this and, you know, underscoring the importance of getting involved in this, you know, people touch on different things, but the frustration comes about is all of the attacks and everything that we value here, everything that has evolved here, the history of the river, the history of jet boats, how it got opened up, how all of these things happen. But yet what they resort to try to shut it down is this system of the consensus models that they use through the dispute resolution thing. And I urge people just understand every attack that we face, everything that's been done with just ignoring actual public input has been a plan, and it's a taught system at our universities here.
Now, what makes that difference, or how does it find a way to legally get around that? I don't know if I've asked you that enough on the air, though, because we've talked about everything from the dam removals to the this to the that to the transportation plan, all of it consensus process. Why has it been so effective at bypassing actual law or faking people out, Ed? Why do you think it has?
Well, people get complacent, and they don't participate. And all of the things combined, if you go to the National Policy Consensus Center at Portland State University, you will find that this conversation through the kitchen table democracy is one of their items that they use. They have the National Policy Consensus Center. They have Oregon Solutions, Oregon Consensus, and the Kitchen Table. Now, they portray this as we're just having a conversation around our kitchen table. But what they don't tell you, it's all a concept of a pre-engineered, predetermined outcome.
So the predetermined outcome is, in this particular case, is the jet boats are going to be squashed in one form or another, right?
Well, the actual question is, do they have a right to be invited into this process? And when I hear that the mayor of Shady Cove started this, I don't believe that. I believe it was suggested to him. I believe that he doesn't quite understand what he invited into this process.
Well, that could be. I was just saying, though, that Mayor Ball reached out to me. And maybe we'll have him on the program after this meeting tonight and have a little conversation about that tomorrow. But I have a feeling that it could be one of those things where this was suggested. I'm sure it probably was suggested to it. I know John Ball's a good guy.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay?
He doesn't understand what he was suggesting, because it all sounds just pearly white and beautiful. Let's invite the kitchen table. But now you don't know who's really commenting, and it's commenting to the agenda. And the agenda is to shut down that section of river. We have talked about this for years. first the Nature Conservancy was buying up land and trying to get conservation easements at the Table Rock area. Then they got a big endowment, you know, created through the state of Oregon, gave them $1 million to buy a property up on the Upper Rogue. And then the total thing is, let's destroy another dam. Let's rewild the area. Let's create a wild and scenic.
And the urge then to get the kitchen table folks, so to speak, for the predetermined outcome is to shut down jet boat activity, because it's ultimately going to be about shutting down all activity on the river. That's the goal.
That's exactly right, Bill. But the other thing you have to understand, since the beginning of this, okay, since we created this country, this state, since it was created, the rivers were considered highways, okay? Now, in that section of the river, it's not the same section as, like, where it reaches the ocean or goes into the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
But the reality to it is it's still a highway, and it's public waters. It's there for everybody, for commerce, for everything. And, again, I try to get people to understand, very simplistically, we have to live here. Now, they just finished destroying our dams down here to the south. Now they want to try to, what, destroy access to the river. What gives these people the right to claim public waters and to claim who can use it?
All right. And I think that is something that could be brought up tonight at this meeting. And remember, I'll use this as a way to mention this here, Ed, okay? It's going to be tonight, 6 till 8, at the Shady Cove Middle School Gymnasium. And maybe what people can be doing is, like you mentioned, calling out the process, like, you know, why do we have an Oregon kitchen table involved in this consensus process, rather than having true public hearings with official testimony and comment and true public input? Is that kind of where you would go with this?
That's what I'm trying to say. And you know what, Bill? My feelings on these things. It's the public input that counts. The reality to all of this is, are they bypassing legitimate public input? And with this process, historically, that's what they do. They confuse it. They muddle it. They keep it in the background. And then the historical record reflects public input.
Well, yeah, well, exactly. It's almost like with the dam removal. You get, one eco-freak gets together with another eco-freak. I agree that the dams need to come out. And then you get together with an eco-freak governor and another eco-freak governor. We all agree it's a predetermined outcome here. But we'll have everybody else comment. But there's still nothing gets in the way of the predetermined outcome. And that's being engineered here, too, and must be guarded against.
And that's what we have to, if we're to survive in this as an area, Bill, of, you know, that our people, our kids, our children, everybody in the future has a living, has an ability to live here and thrive here instead of being driven out. And if you're going to tell me that you want tourism, sustainable tourism, we can't survive on backpackers taking the Pacific Crest Trail. We can't survive on campers coming in here. That's not it. There has to be a variety of things that people get offered.
Yeah, including, as an example, jet boat trips, you know, up and down the road. All right. Mr. X, thank you so much, and I always appreciate your take on it. All right, 731 on KMED and KCMD. Here in the next few minutes, we'll revisit this as time goes on, too. But remember, the meeting tonight, 6 till 8, Shady Cove Middle School Gymnasium, okay? We're going to be talking about the Grants Pass School District 7 case with the head attorney in this lawsuit, which will be argued again in front of the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals this coming Monday. That'll be right after news.
When you hire a contractor, the last worry you should have is, are they capable enough to handle the job? A well drilling contractor is no different, especially with tough drilling conditions Southern Oregon can encompass. Clouser Drilling invests in capable machinery, tooling, and personnel equipped to handle these conditions. They operate 4 modern rotary drill rigs with capability from air rotary, mud rotary, and drill and drive casing advancement systems. Combine this with over 50 years and thousands of wells drilled, and worry no more. Contact Clouser Drilling or visit clouserdrilling.com.
Sweetwater Sanitation are your experts in the sanitation business. With over 20 years of providing septic services in Southern Oregon, Sweetwater Sanitation gets the job done the right way. Sweetwater Sanitation can inspect, service, repair, and pump your septic tank so you can focus on enjoying time with friends and family and not a septic disaster. Give them a call at 541-821-1426 or check them out online at swsmodoc.com. Sweetwater Sanitation, their service is the difference.
First, we place our sow's ear into the device. Shut the door, press the button, and voila! A beautiful silk purse.
Usually, people who make big claims can't deliver.
Hey, this is just a hot sow's ear!
But not at Lithia Body and Paint. Since 1946, we've been providing collision repairs so good, it's like it never happened. Service, speed, accuracy. That's Lithia Body and Paint on Bullock Road in Medford.
News is sponsored by Millett Construction, specializing in foundation repair and replacement. Get on solid ground by visiting MilletteConstruction.com.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason. Jurors in the Trump trial in New York back at it this morning. They're taking care of some business before they resume deliberations. They're reviewing some testimony as well as a judge's instructions to the jury. On his way into court this morning, former President Trump once again dismissing the whole thing as a politically motivated sham. President Biden makes his first state visit to France next week, commemorating the 80th anniversary of the Allied landings at Normandy. Mr. Biden will also visit Paris. There will be talks with French President Macron. The Supreme Court clearing the way for a National Rifle Association lawsuit against a former New York State official over claims that she violated the NRA's free speech rights. It was a unanimous opinion by the high court. On Wall Street, the Dow down 376 points, the NASDAQ 64 points in the red. More details, srnnews.com.
This hour of the Bill Meyer Show is proudly sponsored by Phoenix Auto Center Tire Pros on Main Street in Phoenix.
Hi, Jason with Phoenix Auto Center Tire Pros with more spring savings. Right now, purchase a set of four qualifying Yokohama tires through June 15th and get up to a $100 rebate. Get an additional $50 when you purchase with your Tire Pros credit card. There's 14 different tires to choose from, including Geolander AT for your truck or SUV and the Avid Ascend LX for your passenger car. So stop by or call for details to save right now on quality Yokohama tires exclusively at Phoenix Auto Center Tire Pros.
Millett Construction has been a general contractor for 40 years. For the last 20 years, they've specialized in foundation repair and replacement. If you have sloping floors, cracks in walls, and windows and doors that are hard to open, you have a foundation problem that's only getting worse. At Millett Construction, they not only fix your foundation and level your house, they solve the water problem that's causing the damage. Get on solid ground. Call Millett Construction for a free estimate. Visit MilletteConstruction.com. CCB number 32787.
Bicoastal Media's 2024 Best of Southern Oregon magazine, presented by Dusty's Transmissions, is publishing in July. Thank you to all of our winners and advertisers who will appear in the coming edition. In the meantime, you can visit bestofsouthernoregon.com to flip through the current magazine and find all of Southern Oregon's best suppliers of goods and services. Also, please email rvcontact@bicoastal.media if your business is interested in being a pickup location for the 2024 Best of Southern Oregon magazine.
Hi, this is Mark from Jay Austin, and I'm on KMED and KCMD.
736, City of Grants Pass has been making a lot of noise this year in legal circles. There, of course, was the homelessness lawsuit, which was heard before the Supreme Court. And we have another case, this case with Grants Pass School District 7, which will be argued or re-argued, I should say, in an appeal this coming Monday, this in front of the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals in Portland. And Matthew Hoffman joins me. He's legal counsel, Center for Academic Freedom, Alliance Defending Freedom. ADFlegal.org is your particular website. And anyway, Matthew, welcome back. You're the lead attorney. Great to have you on the show. Good morning.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right. So if you could catch people up who may have forgotten about this, we had a Grants Pass teacher and an assistant principal that ended up getting blown out because essentially the way I'm looking at this, they insufficiently bent the knee to the agenda. Would that be a fair assessment over religious issues here and everything else? Please take it.
Well,
take it.
Yeah, the bottom line here is that public schools can't retaliate against staff for sharing their personal beliefs and ideas. And so Katie, the teacher mentioned, and Rachel, the assistant principal, merely offered reasonable, loving, and tolerant solutions on gender identity education policy solutions that offered everyone's that respected everyone's rights, and they were fired because of that. So, yes, there are free speech and religious freedom issues squarely implicated here.
So Oregon is an at-will state. I mean, anybody can usually be fired for any particular reason. Does this make it different because of the religious connotations of it and that it was on their private time that they ended up doing this or not? Maybe you could explain what the ask is and the various ins and outs. And maybe, I don't know, because you lost the first round, right? The first round in court went against the two teachers, right?
That's correct. What the Supreme Court has made clear is that even at-will employees cannot be fired for an unconstitutional or unlawful reason, such as retaliation for their free speech or discrimination based on religious viewpoint, which happened here. And yes, we are arguing this case on appeal. The ruling below doesn't give appropriate respect for First Amendment rights. Again, the Supreme Court has recognized that neither teachers nor students shed their First Amendment rights at the schoolhouse gate. That's certainly true for Rachel and Katie. And they spoke on an issue of vast public debate. You know, people are having this conversation in school districts across the country, and we need teachers to offer their opinions on this issue because they should be the most knowledgeable about what will help their students.
But the way the state of Oregon operated, apparently, along with Grants Pass School District 7, was that there was only one way to approach transgender issues, and that was what, state policy, just shut up and do it or not?
The Grants Pass School District administrators attempted to enforce their orthodoxy on teachers and squelch out dissenting viewpoints. They said, okay, you know, this is the way we're going to do it. And if you don't also get in line, you know, you cannot continue to work in the school district. But that is unconstitutional because Katie and Rachel merely offered their policy proposal solutions as one addition. And the school district itself, in fact, encouraged teachers to offer policy proposals, but then the school district turned around and fired them when they, you know, merely had the temerity to do so.
Oh, in other words, yes, we want your policy proposals. Oh, but we don't want that policy proposal. That's the wrong kind of policy proposal. You're fired, right? That kind of thing, literally.
Well, it shows viewpoint discrimination because the school district said, yes, come to us with policy proposals, but now this policy proposal we don't like, and some staff complained and defended them, so you're going to be terminated, and that is what is unconstitutional. I think we should all agree that teachers should be free to advocate for the good of their students, especially when they create a video, you know, on their own time and off campus.
Matthew, what is the ask of this lawsuit on appeal?
The ask is for the Ninth Circuit to set a clear rule vindicating teachers' freedom of speech and to make clear that, you know, what the school district argues and what the district court said in its opinion is not correct, that, you know, mere offense of other people just disagreeing with the idea cannot be a sufficient basis to punish teachers when they speak on such an important issue like gender identity education policy solutions. That is the center of a national debate.
What role does disruption of the educational process weigh in this kind of a lawsuit? Because I've known in the past that schools have tried to squelch debate by saying, well, what you're talking about is disrupting classroom or disrupting the school. Did they try doing that in this particular case?
That's correct. That's a common argument that's made. And to the extent that, you know, there is extremely, you know, the speech that would really, in fact, disrupt the school district, that might be a permissible reason. Mm-hmm. But what the courts have said is that just disagreeing with a viewpoint or even just being offended by it, not liking it, is not disruption. I mean, that basically is the heckler's veto, saying we don't like what you have to say, therefore you can't say it and you can't be a public teacher anymore. And that is not sufficient disruption under the test. And, you know, it really cannot be the rule because, you know, we all should be free to express what we believe in and offer these, you know, reasonable and loving solutions like Katie and Rachel did.
Katie and Rachel, are they going to be present at the arguments this Monday? Do you know?
Yes, I believe. believe they plan on being there.
Okay. What happened to them since? And I was going to reach out to them at some point, and it kind of got lost in the shuffle, you know? What has been going on in their lives ever since?
They fought their termination, and after a public outcry, the board reinstated them, mm-hmm. unfortunately reinstated them to inferior positions, and then eventually forced Rachel out of the school district because of, you know, ongoing retaliation actions. So, you know, part of the ask here, too, is that they be reinstated to their rightful positions, which is where they were terminated from, and not to inferior positions or forced out as ongoing retaliation.
Yeah, interesting. And is there a possibility that there be some damages attached to this, too, if there's a reversal and, you know, and they fine for Rachel and Katie?
Yes, that is a possibility. You know, Rachel and Katie were terminated for a period of months. They were denied unemployment benefits, and they had to fight, which they did successfully, for their licensure. So, you know, there is certainly economic harm attached with that. But, you know, and again, overall, though, I would say is, you know, it is a very principle-based stance that, mm-hmm. you know, educators don't give up their First Amendment rights at the schoolhouse gates, and they should be free to advocate for solutions they believe in.
You know, Matthew Hoffman, by the way, is lead attorney here on this particular case, the Grants Pass School District case with Rachel and Katie. You know this one. It's Rachel Damiano and Katie Medart v. Grants Pass School District 7. And why is it so difficult in today's America that religious freedom and freedom of speech seem to be such a difficult stone to roll up the hill these days, given the fact that this was what this country was practically founded on? I mean, it is the First Amendment. It's not even 15, 20, 25 or something like that. This was the very first thing that this nation was founded on. Why do you believe it's such a tough act?
Yeah, right. These are our, you know, foundational, our first freedoms, and they're the premise of what democracy is, that we should all be able to share our viewpoints and freely exercise our religion. I think certain ideologies today make that difficult, but we stand and we're thankful. You know, Rachel and Katie are taking a courageous stand to say, you know, we should remain free to discuss these issues, because it's really only by having public debate and free public debate where everybody can express their views that our country, as it exists, as a democracy, can continue to function, because, you know, that public debate is really the backbone of a self-governing society.
Matthew, I'm going to ask a question that I ask of many attorneys who I have on the program here, and people seem to want to tiptoe around it. Is what Katie and Rachel experiencing part of the ultimate conclusion of the civil rights legislation of the 1960s, which essentially, you know, almost seemed to encode this whole idea, like, well, there is no freedom of there's a freedom to associate, but you can't not associate. And boy, you better, you know, get in line with, you know, the consensus, so to speak. Is there a case to be made that civil rights law has actually brought us to this kind of point in which the original civil rights end up getting squashed by the new civil rights? Any thoughts on that?
Well, I think to the extent that it is applied in that manner, you know, it cannot trump the Constitution. So like we're talking about with our first freedoms, you know, other such laws are, you know, not supreme, the supreme law of the land, which mm-hmm. the free speech guarantee and free exercise religion is. You know, I will say civil rights laws have done a substantial amount of good work in this country, including when it comes to religion. One of Katie and Rachel's claims here is the civil rights religious freedom claim. So there is that to be said. But, you know, to the extent that we cannot remain free to just merely debate ideas, that's inconsistent with the First Amendment.
Mm-hmm. Well, and maybe I'll redirect, Counselor. I think of a case like Sweet Cakes by Melissa, in which, you know, the moment that you have a business, all of a sudden the government, through administrative rules, decides that, well, you're a public accommodation. And so if a Satanist comes up to your Christian baker and asks you to bake a Satan wedding cake, you better do it or else you're guilty of discrimination. You know, that kind of thing. This is like you're not allowed to, you know, freedom to associate, but you can't not associate. And how can you have the freedom to associate unless you can exclude someone? And I think this is what civil rights law has done from the 1960s.
Sure. Well, I think you can see, though, the interplay with the First Amendment in an ADF case recently that came down from the Supreme Court, 303 Creative, in which, you know, there's a custom wedding website designer, and the Supreme Court held that her First Amendment speech rights could not be trumped by various state law on the issue. So kind of going back to my previous point, I do think that the First Amendment freedom is sacrosanct here.
Okay, very good. Well, Matthew, I'm looking forward to hearing more about how the arguments go on Monday, so you'll be up before the judges. Ninth Circuit gets reversed quite a bit, though, even if you were to lose, right? And let's hope you don't lose. But even if you did, that would then mean it has to go up to the Supreme Court if you weren't able to make it?
Yeah, the next stop could be full review by the Ninth Circuit and or possibly the Supreme Court. But, you know, we're praying for victory, and we'll just have to see what happens.
All right. Well, I know you're going to make great arguments, no doubt, and hopefully talk some sense into the Ninth Circuit, and they could use a little more sense, and I appreciate your take on it this morning. Matthew, good luck on this on Monday, all right? You take care. Appreciate hearing more.
Thank you so much.
Matthew Hoffman, he's the legal counsel, Center for Academic Freedom, and Alliance Defending Freedom. He's the lead attorney, rather, on this particular case. It is 12 before 8 on KMED and KCMD.
Hi, this is Paul at Valley View Nursery. Thank you for 45 awesome years. We love plants and we love sharing them with you. Don't miss our 45th anniversary celebration. 20 to 36% off nursery-wide. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, June 7th through the 9th. For color and choice you won't see anywhere else and current promotions, go to valleyviewnursery.com. Google Map Valley View Nursery and find us closer than you think.
Stay updated on recreational opportunities all over our region with the Outdoor Report every Friday morning just past 7 a.m. on the Bill Meyer Show. The Outdoor Report on KMED and KCMD is powered by Oregon Truck and Auto Authority, your department of adventure off Byless Road on Airway Drive.
Drivers who switch and save with Progressive could save hundreds, which could be life-changing. I mean, you could put that money towards concert tickets for your daughter to see that singer who sings about painful breakups. And one song will inspire your little beauty to break up with that beast she's dating, Brian. Instead, she'll date someone who's nice and worthy of her love, not someone who addresses you and your spouse as bro. And it's all because you could save money switching at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates, not available in all states.
You know, we're so fortunate in this country to have a military that is 100% volunteer. Now, that's why Pure Talk proudly supports America's Warrior Partnership and their mission to prevent veteran suicide. If you make the switch on your cell phone, well, guess what? You're going to get Pure Talk's 5G network, unlimited talk and text, $20 a month. Just dial #250, say the keyword save now for superior cell phone service, half the price of the big carriers, and you also help a vet in need.
Honestly, provocative talk radio on the Lars Larson Show.
Donald Trump is running for president. He's going to win in November. And the Democrats can't stand that idea. So they had to come up with some way to try to stop him. The more they attack him, the more popular he becomes with a majority of Americans. So now he's facing the first criminal trial that any American president or former president has ever faced.
Lars, weekdays noon to 3 on KMED. 106.3 KMED, 99.3 KCMD, and this is the Bill Meyer Show.
You know, I always ask that civil rights legislation question to attorneys, and I really don't think they want it. I think they look at that as a third rail. Because I've talked to people, in fact, one gentleman wrote a book about it, how the actual Constitution, the original Constitution, has essentially been superseded. And there's almost like a condom put over it by civil rights legislation of the 1960s. And nobody, I think, wants to call the baby ugly in some cases. And even though, you know, some good things were done by this. And this is the example that I'm getting at here. It's like, if you have the freedom to associate, which has always been traditional, in other words, you get together with friends and family, people that you like and you feel, you know, a kinship with, and that you share a worldview, that means nothing unless you can exclude the people who do not. And civil rights civil rights legislation of the 1960s ended up creating this this legal fiction, this legal creation called the public accommodation. Now, I'm not an attorney. I'm just telling you what I think as a guy, as just a regular guy looking at this. I'm thinking to myself, all right, it's my business, but it's not my business because I open doors to the public. That's essentially the way it is these days. And like Sweet Cakes by Melissa up in Portland, that's an example. You do you can't help but notice that that the gays and lesbians that want to take down the Christian bakeries never seem to go into the halal bakeries or the halal butcher shops, you know, that sort of things to demand their service. It's quite interesting. It's really usually taken as an anti-Christian push. But everything about law right now is it's not your business. It's your business in name only. But you have to run it within the confines of the regulatory state, which means that doesn't matter if someone's a jerk or whatever it is. You know, if you kick them out because and they happen to be a protected class. And remember, the protected class, I'll put that in scary air quotes. That's another legal fiction. There's nothing in the Constitution that talks about protected class. But this is what judges do, you know, all the time, talking about protected classes. And let's even take it with someone who disagrees with me. All right, remember I was talking about Lyndon Demshire, who was referring to me as a three-hour screecher of hate on her next door post. She was talking to some Russell fellow, you know, up in the Grants Pass area, I guess. And she used to work as a reporter over at the Modoc newspaper. And I think she had some contacts with JPR or whatever it is. And I was just kind of joking around. Okay, hey, come on, Linda. I'll talk with you anytime. And I promise I won't screech. I was just having some fun with this. But let's honestly look at this from, let's say that Linda Demshire, I'm just using her as an example because she calls me the hating screecher, okay? So Linda Demshire, let's say, owned a restaurant here in Southern Oregon. And technically, I think if I were to go into her restaurant right now, she could look at me and say, "You're a screeching hater," and just decide not to serve me, throw me out, you know, that sort of thing. Because being a screeching white guy, I'm not a protected class. Because civil rights legislation says that only protected classes really have that kind of protection. So Linda could throw me out, screeching white guy. If Linda, and by the way, Linda, I don't know if you have a restaurant or not, but if you did, you could throw me out. And I would actually agree with that. Frankly, if it was your restaurant, Linda, I probably wouldn't want to be eating at your restaurant. Think you might spit in my food because I'm such a screeching hater to you. Okay? All right? But we're not allowed to be real with one another. This whole concept that that it's your business and that you got to serve everybody and there's not a whole lot that you can do about it, especially with protected classes, means that it's not respectful of property rights. And without property rights, there are no other rights too, including free speech. The attorneys don't really want to touch this, right? Because everybody knows that essentially civil rights legislation has replaced the Constitution, including even the LGBTQ mob getting Katie and Rachel fired out of their Grants Pass School District 7 jobs, right? The same thing, same sort of mob here, because we have decided that some people, well, all animals are equal, but some animals are more equal than others. Essentially, civil rights legislation has created an animal farm of sorts here in the legal world. Would you agree with me on that? Yay or nay? You know, what could we do? Because to me, if it is your business, it is your business. And whether you would not want to serve me because you just hate my political viewpoint, or for some other reason, yes, including, I mean, I'm a radical on this kind of stuff. Yes, including, you just don't like, you don't like Arabs, or you don't like white guys, or you don't like this, or for whatever reason. How can it be yours if you have to run it only at the behest of the way the state wants it to? How can anything be truly yours? I don't know why almost anybody would want to be a business person these days, all the hoops that you have to dance for. You have to run everything according to the dictates and the tender mercies of the state that would just as soon eat you up and tax you to death. I don't know. Maybe I'm looking at this wrong, but I'm willing to entertain it. I think civil rights law did some good and has also destroyed a lot more than it has made good. There should be no such thing as protected classes. You're either violent to someone, and that's a crime, or you're not violent to someone, and you're fine. But the idea that the government can dictate that you love everyone is unrealistic. I think people just tap dance around it, and the attorneys don't want to talk about that either. I'm thinking that anyway. Anyway, let me go to the lines here. Hi, KBD, KCMD. This is Bill. Who's this?
Hey, Bill, it's Mary. Listen, don't even worry about this stupid woman. She has a right to her opinion, but you're letting her get to you.
No. I'm just using her as an example. That's all. Because it was the most recent one. I assure you, Linda Demshire is not living in my head. I was just laughing about it so much. Okay?
I hope not. There's an old Spanish expression, living well is the best revenge. And that's what I do with all the jerks in my life. I just ignore them and go on with my happy little life.
But my point being when it comes, but Mary, my point being though, when it comes to, you know, freedom of association, I should have the right to be able to associate or not associate with people.
Right.
Linda should have the right to associate or not associate. You should have the right to associate or not associate. But the moment that you run a business, all of a sudden you're considered something which is like publicly owned, the public accommodation. And I just don't think that's right, because how can it be yours if it's only yours if you do what the state says? You know what I mean?
Well, you know, you walk out your front door and there's absolutely no right of privacy. And I mean, the only thing that's really ours is our own spirit and where we live inside our house. And once I leave, which I'm going to be leaving in about 5 minutes, I have no expectation of privacy anymore. Mm-hmm. I mean, this slowly happened over the last 20 years, and it's shocking to me that I live in this Orwellian society. But however, I just don't let that get to me, because the concept of powerlessness is really huge. Mm-hmm. And I recognize at this point in my life what I'm powerful, what I have power over, and what I'm powerless over. And the only thing I'm have power over is me and my reaction to external circumstances.
That's a very interesting philosophical reaction there. But
But it took me a long time to get
there. It makes me understand, though, when it comes to the right of association or not to associate. Maybe the solution to the problems, as I indicated, is that businesses need to become more like clubs, where you join my club and you agree to my rules, period. And I get to pick and choose if you can be in my club. You know?
That's pretty much how it is, don't you think? Like, I don't go to Ashland all that much, because I used to live there for 15 years, and I actually moved to Medford, where I found more freedom of thought, more diversity of ages. I mean, Ashland has just sort of turned into a Del Webb community, and that's fine. I don't want to live in one of those. You know, but you just have to percolate along, doing your own thing. And as my grandfather from Ireland used to say, forgive me for swearing, don't let the bastards get you down. You know, and
Now, is bastards swearing? Because bastards is just a noun, you know, just a noun.
Right.
And believe me, I assure you, I use the term often when I think of certain individuals, but I'll just kind of leave it at that. All right.
Well, just remember this: you do a really powerful thing for this area, and you're a voice of clarity, and you're really smart, you know. And I think you probably had a lot to do with defeating those three propositions. And a lot of people listen to you, including Robert Galvin at the Rogue Valley Times, which I no longer subscribe to, because he mentioned that in one of his columns, that what he and his wife did every day, and they woke up and had coffee, and he said, quote, listen to a local talk show. And that really made me happy that he was being exposed to your ideas and conservatism. But anyway, don't worry about those jerks. You really provide a great service for us.
Oh, it's very kind, except I would think that Galvin was probably listening to JPR, just saying, okay?
Well, that's not really talk radio.
Yeah, they think it is. But remember, now, if we were going to do JPR, though, if we're going to do JPR properly, I'm going to have to calm down here just a little bit. And Mary, I just wanted to thank you for your opinion today. And for also not letting your blood pressure go up too high, because we wouldn't ever want to raise our voice, okay?
Ever. And just remember, kindness is the byword, and be well, Bill.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Take care, Mary. It's a couple after 8:00.